In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win it!
You know what time it is.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic.
Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James with the rejection!
Holy cow! Oh my God! I don't believe it! It just continues!
Excellence. Welcome back to another episode of the Sports Hour. This is Mitch Bo.
And this is Dallin. Guys, welcome back, Mitch.
Started to run out of steam there at the end.
Yeah, that was a bit like, maybe running out of steam is the right way to say that. It was good. I mean, you really tried to hold it, but...
I need to, like, run more. My lung capacity is, it just feels low. I don't know what it is. It's like, man, I can't even hold that. How the hell am I supposed to hit a double on Friday nights at softball? Like,
right.
What am I doing?
I mean, I think maybe you should just dunk your head underwater in, like, your bathtub, see how long you can hold your breath, and then just do that regularly to build up the stamina. Maybe
that's when
maybe
you just find me, like, gone in a tub. Like,
wow. Like,
Dallin's going to show up. Hey, where's Mitch at?
I just was trying to help him sustain his openings to our podcast. What a tragedy. Oh, my God.
What
gosh.
A commitment to the craft. He
what
went
a
that
dark
far.
Way to start this off. What are you like?
I didn't mean to. I was just saying.
I was, like, trying to, like, stop myself from making even darker jokes about this. So I'm
I
just
would.
Gonna,
I would. I would.
I don't want.
By
to.
The way, you like my background? I mean,
I do. Yes, you guys can't see this because you're listening to this.
You will on the new YouTube.
Yes, if you follow us on YouTube, the Sports Hour guys, you will see clips from the podcast, and you'll notice our backgrounds. Mitch has a lovely picture. I told him before, this is the most Ditka picture I've ever seen, because it's a picture of Mike Ditka flipping the camera off.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Ditka. He's got the aviators, the Bears sweater. It's like, it's a perfect Ditka picture. It's great.
This picture all encompasses Ditka. I mean, it just perfectly.
That's fantastic.
That fuck you attitude. That's just, it's fantastic.
I mean, he looks pissed in the picture. Like, he
has to be going into the locker room at halftime down 10 in this one. Like, he has to be pissed off.
They probably have a 17-point lead, Mitch. What are you talking about? It's just how he looks.
He's
you know?
Just pissed.
But he's just mad.
Dick is my guy.
He's just flipping off the camera for no reason. No, it's great. Mine is a great picture of the Panthers. I'm not going to spoil yet, though, because later on in the podcast, in fact, the second half of the podcast is going to be a tier list of our a ranking of the jerseys in the NFL, the jersey designs in the NFL. We're going to start this week with the NFC, so the tier rankings of the NFC jerseys, hence why I have this picture of the Panthers. And then as well, obviously, Mitch, we'll get into the NBA playoffs, conference finals going on, and they have most definitely been entertaining. So we'll get into that as well. But first, we must start with the news.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into the news. Wow, that was like the angriest I think I've ever done that.
That was like a growl.
That was like Slipknot intro to the news. That was Corey Taylor screaming, "Let's get into the news." But here we are.
I love it. Hey, man. I mean, like, you just got to mix it up sometimes.
Sometimes you got to.
It didn't seem too aggressive to me, Mitch.
Okay. All right.
So.
All right. I think before we get into the NBA coach hirings and everything, I want to just say something here, because we're 1 week in to the MLB sticky substance crackdown. Right, we're about a week and a half in ish, and I gotta say,
do you still like sticky balls? Is that still true?
I still love sticky balls. Yes.
Okay, that's good.
Look, here's the deal. I was pretty indifferent about it last time we talked about it. I was kind of like, I don't know how this is going to go because I have to see it happen first, right?
I thought you gave great background on the idea of a substance. Obviously, you shared your personal experience. I think you were probably pro-substance more so than not.
Yes. I mean, I definitely leaned that edge. But I also was, like, not opposed to the fact of trying to crack down on it. And if they came up with a better solution, the truth of the matter is they haven't, and Major League Baseball has botched this again. Just let him be now. Just let him be now. You already screwed this up. You screwed this up once. Don't try to find another way to screw this up again. You saw guys like, Max Scherzer absolutely lost his mind last week getting checked three times for a sticky substance. Then in the fourth inning, Joe Girardi decides he wants to check him out. So now for the fourth time in the game, he's getting checked out for a sticky substance. Sergio Romo for the A's just dropped his pants there in the middle of the field and said, check me out. Look, like, try to find a substance on me. This is getting ridiculous. And for all the baseball critics out there that were so critical of the sticky substances – but also complained about time constraints in Major League Baseball. Guess what? You can't have both because it's still making the game longer. So you can't complain about the game being too long, but also complaining about checking guys for sticky substances because you're still prolonging the game. So my proposal is this. Go back to the way it was. If you have an inkling that some guy has a sticky substance on his glove, on his belt, on his hat, on the back of his hat, on his neck, then check him out. If you don't, let it be. Because there's guys like Jacob deGrom that have yet to have been caught, and he was like supposedly going to be the guy that was going to get caught, and he was going to get busted, and his ERA was going to inflate because he was going to get caught with a sticky substance, yet he still hasn't been caught. Just go back to the way that it was. If you want to check catchers now, check catchers. You can go ahead and say from the dugout, hey, I think the catcher is a sticky substance. We've seen.
Yeah, you were saying that you had seen videos or something where catchers were the ones now with the sticky substance.
We've seen videos of Gary Sanchez with sticky stuff on the edge of his glove. So, like, if you want to check them there, check them there. But, I mean, if you're worried about length of the game, this is only prolonging the game. And honestly, it's just getting obnoxious. It's just getting obnoxious. Just let them throw until you have an inkling of it. I think it was fine the way it was before. And I was kind of – I was accepting of this before because I was like, hey, we'll see how it works. But now the checking of it, yeah, it's way too far. Just let the guys throw until they get caught. And if you have an inkling, then they'll eventually get caught. I mean, this is the stupidest thing baseball's done in the last 50 years. The dumbest thing.
I mean, it's just, I don't think it's that bad. Trust me, this isn't new for Major League Baseball to, like, mess up handling a situation. And obviously these excessive checks were never a permanent solution, were never even a good solution, right? I think the real question is whether or not Major League Baseball has a problem. If there is a problem with sticky substances, if it's so widespread or such a competitive advantage that you think it's not going to be good for the game, then you need to do more. Like, you need to either fix that problem or accept that problem. And what Major League Baseball's done is nothing. They're just going to excessively check. It's not going to stop. You already brought up catchers. They're just going to find ways around it, right? And then the catcher's going to be the one that muddies the ball up. And that, you know, so you either have to fix the problem, which we had talked about last week, you know, different solutions, a pre-tacked ball. Is that the best solution? No. Is that a solution that solves the problem, though? Yes. What doesn't solve the problem is excessively checking these pitchers the way that they have in this last week.
Well,
so Major League Baseball has just prolonged the problem. They haven't solved anything by doing this, and that's their mistake. That's what they need to do. Accept it, like you said, and just, it's, you know, we accept it's not that big a deal, doesn't affect it, or do something actually substantial.
Well, and part of the problem is with this is they want to point the blame at the sticky substance, but you have half the league swinging out of their ass and hitting 230, you know, 240, and they're going, oh, it's the sticky substance coming off the pitchers. Well, no, maybe if you just slowed down your swing a little bit and you tried to put the ball in play and you weren't hitting 230 and 240 because you weren't swinging from your asshole the entire time, maybe you'd be a little bit more productive at the plate. I think it's a combination of both. Like, the hitters have completely changed their approach to the plate. It's about the long ball. It's about the long ball. It's about production. It's about how many runs can I knock in at one time. Even if there's no one on base, I have to maximize how many runs I can hit in, and I'm going to swing from my ass and try to go yard. And that's part of the problem here is you have no guys playing just straight-up baseball. They're trying to play home run derby half the time, and now they're going to point the blame on sticky stuff on pitchers, when honestly I don't know if it has that much of a difference. When this stuff came up, was at the same time that guys were worried about launch angle and exit velo. So we don't really have a fair barometer on whether or not sticky substance has something to do with this. Like, obviously it picks up your revolutions on the baseball, but at the same time, guys are trying to swing out of their ass the whole time. The same time that we're trying to figure out if sticky substance really has that big of effect. So
yeah, I'd love to see the actual data that says it is a problem. And again, that's kind of my point. Like, I'm indifferent on whether it's a problem or not. I don't know. Like, I don't really have like a strong opinion on that. But my opinion is if the MLB thinks it's an actual problem, then they need to fix it. This isn't fixing it. This is just prolonging it. And in fact, it's making it worse. So you need either fix the problem or accept the problem and move on. You know, like, we got to do one thing or the other. This is just prolonging it. And as we mentioned earlier, not surprising, right, that the MLB is struggling to handle an issue, right?
Yeah.
It's you know,
I love the league, but my God, it does not handle issues well.
You know, and it's sad in a year where, you know, I feel like MLB has actually been pretty fun this year. I mean, a guy like Shohei Ohtani doing what he's doing as a batter and as a pitcher, succeeding at a high level on both sides of the baseball, you know, putting his name in the record books alongside Babe Ruth. I mean, that should be the biggest thing coming out of baseball, not sticky balls. But unfortunately, that's what the season will always be remembered as, because the MLB continues to self-sabotage. It's sad. It's sad because there should be so many more things to be excited about in Major League Baseball and interested in right now other than this seemingly potentially non-issue.
Thanks, Trevor Bauer. I love your personality, man, but you're the one who brought this to light. Now everyone's checking it. I mean,
he did.
You had to do was not talk about it, and then no one would be talking about it anymore, and it would still be a thing. Thanks, Trevor. Like, you're electric to watch, but you ruined this for everyone. Sorry, dude. Like,
not invited to any more parties. That's a party foul, Trevor.
That is almost, that's almost pit of misery for a week.
That's, oh, yeah, yeah. I think if anyone deserves it, it's Rob Manfred, but I guarantee he's still in there. I was going to say, I said that in my head, but I was like, oh, he's a full-time resident.
Speaking of which, sorry, before we get on to our NBA news, I'm going to let three people out of the pit of misery. I actually wrote this down ahead of time.
We have a release from the pit of... This doesn't happen very often, folks. This is exciting stuff here on episode 96.
They have served their time. They have either had new beginnings, and so they're
ready. They found themselves.
So the first one is Mitchell Trubisky. He did Chicago dirty by playing like absolute horse poo-poo. So
true.
But you know what? He's in Buffalo now. He's a backup to Josh Allen. Maybe this is a new beginning for him. So
I like it. That's very forgiving of you, Mitch. I'm proud of you.
This is my realm. This is my kingdom. I really like
it. Listen, it helps when you get Justin Fields in the NFL draft too, right? Makes it really easy to forgive Mitchell Trubisky, right?
Ah, Mitch, you're all right. Yeah.
You're like, all's forgiven.
It's good. No worries, man. I am also going to go over your head here and let out Joey Sly.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I forgot he was in there. Why was he in there? I don't remember.
He missed a kick one time, and then you put him in there.
Oh,
he was in there for 2 years for missing a kick. Cody Parkey wasn't even in that long.
Sometimes, life is fickle, and I could be vindictive sometimes. Apologies to Joey Sly. I did see this cool stat, actually. I forgot who tracked it. I think it was maybe ESPN, but it was the percentage of kickoffs that end up in the end zone. And it was an actual metric that tracked, like, how often somebody who does a kickoff, it stays in the end zone. It doesn't, end up. And Joey Sly is like third in the NFL last year. And I'm like, makes sense. He has a boot. He's always kicking it.
Got a boomstick. Yeah.
It was like 89%. I think the highest in the NFL was like 92 or 93%. I thought that was cool. I didn't know that was a stat.
Hell yeah.
I learned a new stat today. I'm like, that should be mainstream. That should be measured more often.
That should be a measurable for like Pro Bowls.
A kicker might kick one field goal a game, but he might kick it off 5 times. So like, yeah, that's where his impact's coming. We should know.
Kicker of the year should be a more prominent.
Kicker? I don't think there's an award for kicker of the year, really.
Well, it should be a year. It should be an award.
We should have a kicker of the year?
Yeah. And like you can
the Adam Vinatieri kicker of the year award.
The Adam Vinatieri award.
I love it. NFL, Roger. Get in my DMs, bro. Let's do it.
I'm for the brand. I'm for the brand. I'm all for special teamers. So
absolutely.
And the third person to get out of this was Grace Community Church, who we absolutely slaughtered in a softball game on Friday nights. They're out. I felt bad for even putting them in. And then I looked and I was like, oh my God, they're still in there. We need to let them out.
Put a church in the pit of misery.
Well, look, we slaughtered them in softball. What was this?
They
supposed
were
to
horrible.
Do?
If you don't remember that episode,
it
that
was like
was
34-2. It was so bad. So, yeah, no, they should have been out a long time ago. But I looked and I was like, oh my God, yeah, they need to get out of there. So, Grace Community Church, you're out of the pit of misery. Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly. Well, that's good for you for kind of going through the catalogs, making sure we're, people are serving their proper sentences.
Yeah, I mean, there's people that are still in there.
You're a pretty good warden there of the pit of misery.
I like to think that I am. I would like to think that I am. But there are people like the Houston Astros, Alberto Riveron, COVID-19, that are going to be spending quite a bit of time in here. So
yes, along with our good friend Rob Manfred.
Rob Manfred.
Not going anywhere.
Dan Snyder, Kevin Cash. Like, yeah, they'll be spending
some
time
in here.
Yeah,
all those people. I'm like, yep, nope, they're all good to stay. Yeah. Not going anywhere. That's great, Mitch. Well, thanks for the update on the pit of misery. And I'm, welcome to your new lives, all those who have been freed from the pit of misery. We hope we don't have to bring you up here again.
No.
Mitch, let's get into the other bit of news here, and that is coach hirings in the NBA. Last week, it was all coach firings, right? We talked about all the sort of openings. And in the last 7 days since we recorded, we now have a bunch of hirings or expected hirings. In fact, a lot of these aren't official yet. But let's start with the one that is, Mitch, and that is Rick Carlisle going to the Indiana Pacers. Obviously, he stepped down from the Dallas Mavericks, long tenured coach there. I think it was like the third longest tenured coach in the NBA when he stepped down this year. Ends up in Indiana in what I think is an interesting move. For a couple of reasons. One, I don't think Indiana's a better situation than Dallas. Obviously, the timing of everything, the amount of time he was there, disagreements with Mark Cuban, are what led to his departure. But it's not a horrible situation either. So a good team could be great with the right pieces. I think they have, great players like Sabonis to sort of build around, Malcolm Brogdon. So that's sort of curious there. I think it's a great hire on the Pacers side of things. There's not many better coaches that you could hire than like Rick Carlisle. I mean, he's one of the best in the NBA. That's like a big win for them. I'm just curious as to why he took the job so quickly and why Indiana, especially if he could have been in the running for the Boston job. Or even, I would say, the Portland job, which we'll talk about those later.
He has a history with Indiana. He was the head coach in Indiana from 03 to 07. So, maybe he had that desire to go back to Indiana. And he was there for the Malice in the Palace. I mean, why wouldn't you want to go back?
And he missed that. He's like, I'd love me some, get me a Jermaine O'Neal and Ron Artest, please.
Before he was the head coach in Indiana for the Malice in the Palace. Before he coached Indiana, he was the head coach in Detroit. So, that was, the year prior. So he fought his team that he coached the year prior in the Malice in the Palace.
Well, I don't think he was doing much fighting.
he was around, I guess. But, I mean.
So what are your thoughts? Are you.
Great hire. I mean. Like you said, one of the best in the NBA. He's coached Dallas for the last 15 years and has been fantastic for Dallas. Even through the bad years, they weren't even that terrible, with the exception of that 2017-2018 team when it was kind of their rebuilding year. So he's been fantastic throughout the course of his career. It's a great hire for Indiana, and a team that's kind of on that precipice of being that one big move away from being that top four team in the East. Why not bring in a great mind like Rick Carlisle to help make that push to be maybe a top four team in the East in the upcoming year? So I like the hire. Love the hire.
Yeah, no, like I said, I don't think they could do better. I was just more curious on the Carlisle side, but I guess there's a tie there. I mean, that was a long time ago, though. I mean, it was like 15 years. He spent a long time in Dallas. So in my head, I guess maybe there's more of a connection there than I guess I would suspect. But let's go to another one, Mitch. This one came in last night, Friday night, recording this on June 26th. Chauncey Billups is expected to be hired as the new head coach for the Portland Trail Blazers. And Billups was in many sort of conversations for coaching opportunities. I know last year he was looked at as a head coach, potentially. Billups, obviously, longtime NBA player, 44 years old, has a good relationship with Damian Lillard. And in fact, the two, I guess, have talked quite a bit during the coach search process. So the belief there would be his relationship with Lillard, you know, motivates Dame to stay in Portland and make it work, and whatever moves they do around that he's committed to being there. And for that reason, it's a great move. I have no reason to doubt Chauncey Billups as a coach. I mean, first time head coach. Who knows how it'll go, but I think they made a good decision here. I feel like if I was a Portland fan, I'd be pretty excited.
Yeah, I mean, great basketball mind getting brought into a team that has been just getting in at the bottom seeds over the last few years and needs that extra push, and maybe this is the extra push to keep Dame as well because of the great relationship that they have. A great hire, Chauncey Billups. Like I said, great basketball mind. This is a guy that was a five-time All-Star, two-time All-Defensive. Defense, something that Portland has struggled with in the past. So, great hire. And I have this is his first opportunity as a NBA head coach, so I have no reason to dislike it yet until he's proven me wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, Billups currently an assistant coach with the Los Angeles Clippers, battling it out in the Western Conference Finals. Mitch, let's talk about another expected coach hiring, and that's going to be another former player, Jason Kidd, assistant coach for the Los Angeles Lakers, one-time head coach, the Milwaukee Bucks, getting another opportunity here, this time with a team he played for in Dallas, teams up with Luka, which there's a natural sort of connection there, a fit, when you think of the types of players. I mean, there's a comp there. I mean, Luka's bigger than Kidd, no doubt, but the style of play, the impact on the team, similar minds there with Kidd and Luka Doncic, and I would expect that becomes a healthy marriage, a way for Luka to learn from one of the greatest in the NBA, and I, you know, things didn't work out great in Milwaukee. I know there were high expectations for him and Giannis. That didn't really work out, but with time, being on a championship winning team with the Lakers last season, going through that process, that's got to be valuable experience for him as a head coach. And I would expect the second time around, things go better for Jason Kidd here in Dallas.
Yeah. I mean, guy is right around 500 for his coaching career. You know, he had those 4 years in Milwaukee, well, 3.5 years in Milwaukee, and then the 1 year in Brooklyn. Yeah, I love the hire. And he's going back to Dallas, a place that he played there at the end of his career, that he had some success at. So, love the hire. I can't hate on it. Can't hate on it at all.
Yeah, it is, you know, it makes a lot of sense. And like you said, fun that he gets to go be at a place where he not only played, but won a championship, right? He was part of that 2011 squad with Dirk. And obviously Dirk being brought in to help sort of assist in the search for the new coach. Obviously that had to play a role in that as well. Alongside Kidd's hiring, they did also hire a new GM, and a guy to run their basketball operations. And that is an interesting hire, a longtime Nike executive by the name of Nico Harrison. Harrison has, I guess, been pursued by other teams for front office roles in the past, has well-established connections with the NBA, including a strong relationship with Luka Doncic when Doncic moved from the Jordan brand to Nike a few years ago. So not only do they bring a head coach with a relationship with Doncic, which is their ability to connect to their star, but a GM and a basketball ops position that has a direct tie to their superstar. Wise moves for the Dallas Mavericks if they ever hope to keep him around long term. So,
yes, very nice. Very nice.
All right. The final one here, Mitch, the expected hire for the Boston Celtics as Brad Stevens moved into the front office and Danny Ainge moved on. They're finalizing a deal with the Brooklyn Nets. Ime Udoka, he's an assistant coach with the Brooklyn Nets, another guy who has been tied to a number of jobs in the last couple years, one of those rising names. He was an assistant for 7 seasons with the Spurs and Greg Popovich, spent some time in Philly, and then now obviously with Brooklyn. He's 43 years old, so a young guy, but highly recommended by Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who played with him for Team USA in the FIBA World Cup a few years ago, with Pop coaching that team and him as an assistant on that team. So he already has, again, this is the theme, right? Connections with your superstars, guys who your young players are advocating for, who want there, and that the sort of control. I don't want to say control, because I don't think it's a negative thing for you to hire people that work well together, right? So if your young stars say, I want that guy, that's probably a smart decision to just be like, okay, he's qualified and this guy's going to be happy if he's here, you know, win-win. So I think this is a great hire for Boston.
Fantastic hire for Boston. I mean, when you come that highly recommended by Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, you have to jump on that opportunity. Those are your stars. Those are your stars. And we've talked about stars requesting these coaches to come in and lead these teams. And when you have two of your biggest stars saying, you need to go get this guy, we've played with him before, and the, you know, with the FIBA stuff and everything, you have to go get this guy. And obviously rising lately with the San Antonio Spurs, he was a former Spur himself, playing 3 years there. So, great hire, first time head coach getting an opportunity here. I'm excited to see what kind of stuff he could do with this very young and talented Boston roster.
No doubt. And he had another coach from the Greg Popovich coaching tree You know, there's a lot of them in the NBA, and a lot of very successful coaches. Mike Budenholzer, Quinn Snyder, Taylor Jenkins with the Memphis Grizzlies, all those guys, and many more coming from the Greg Popovich tree. And perhaps another assistant from the Greg Popovich tree, Becky Hammon, was I know one of the finalists in the Portland job. She's been interviewed for the Wizards opening. Perhaps, you know, that's a fit for her, but she could join Udoka as yet another former Spurs assistant, being the head coach of an NBA franchise.
Yeah, absolutely. So, absolutely.
Mitch, that's it for the coach hirings, and that's it for the news. Let's get into the NBA playoffs. Conference finals, let's start in the West, where the Phoenix Suns hold a 2-1 lead over the Los Angeles Clippers. Game 4 is tonight in about 20 minutes. So let's talk about this in the context of Game 4 this evening and the future of this series. First two games went to the Suns. Kawhi Leonard-less the Clippers have been this entire series. No Chris Paul in the first two games. Suns get the two wins at home. Chris Paul comes back for Game 3. Devin Booker playing with the broken nose, the mask on. They fall in Los Angeles. Clippers have found themselves three series in a row, Mitch, with a 2-0 deficit. And yet in the first two, it turned out all right for them with wins over Dallas and Utah. Is this like third time's the charm? Are they not getting it done? Or the Clippers just this sort of resilient team that's just going to get it done in the end? What are your thoughts on this series so far?
I thought Phoenix really scrapped well without Chris Paul there. And they really just dug deep and got these wins out. Now they got the broken nose with Devin Booker. He plays that first game with it. It could have been a one-game adjustment trying to figure out how to play with the mask on. This is still the Suns series to lose. I mean, they're still my pick to win this one. I still think they can get it done in six. Seven may be the more realistic thing to pick here, but I still think that six is probably what they'll get it done. Look, with the Clips without Kawhi Leonard just aren't that good of a team. They aren't. They're not that good of a team. They have a bunch of has-beens and Paul George. And so, they're just it's hard to pick against the Suns, even with Chris Paul coming back, being that guy on that team that they need him to be, and then Devin Booker playing with a mask on his face. It's hard to pick against the Suns. Hard to pick against
them. Yeah, no, and we both picked Suns in six going into this series, and health was going to be a big deal, right? Would Kawhi come back? Would Chris Paul come back? Obviously, Chris Paul playing, but didn't play well. He's obviously going to add to that team, and as he gets healthier over the next couple games, could have a bigger impact. The Booker mask thing, I also believe, is a factor. Also, Pat Beverly just had a hell of a game on the defensive side of the ball. Really, really frustrated Booker. And I was talking to somebody about this, and we were talking about this series casually on Friday, and I was like, so my only thought with this is, yeah, Pat Bev was great, but like, how many games in a series like that does Pat Bev have at this point? Like two? You know? So like, he's going to show out like the all defensive Pat Bev, like maybe two times at this point. And that was one of them. So like it got you a win, but he's probably only good for like one more, which means that Devin Booker is going to probably be able to just jump right back into scoring 35 points a game. So I'm with you. Still Suns in six. I would not be surprised if the Clippers won this game tonight and even and tied it up at 2-2. But without Kawhi, Chris Paul coming back from injury, and just the depth and talent on this Suns team. No disrespect to the Clippers. They're a great team, but they're just missing more. And the Suns are healthier and will be, you know, unless something changes for the rest of the series. So I still feel confident in the Suns, but don't rule out the Clippers, because we talked about this in the Dallas series. We talked about this in the Utah series, and here we are again talking about it in the Suns series. Like, they have just found a way to be resilient. They won two games against Utah without Kawhi Leonard. And they're, you know, have battled and competed in the series. Paul George played really well. Reggie Jackson playing at another level. So it's, there's a lot of games to be played if the Suns go up 3-1 tonight, they're going to be in a really good spot, and I would have trouble picking the Clippers from there. But, you know, big game four tonight at Staples Center.
I have to ask you. So we had, you know, the LeBron chase down block of Andre Iguodala. Is the Jay Crowder to DeAndre Ayton oop at the buzzer going to rank up there as one of those great all-time playoff plays that happens?
I mean, I definitely think it's an iconic play from this playoff specifically. It's probably the most iconic. I think, you know, I think last year would be that Doncic step back, right? With the call, the bang, bang by Mike Breen, you know, that was like the play, right? That Ayton game winning slam on the oop, that is definitely the most iconic play of these playoffs so far. And especially if the Suns go on to make and win the finals, even more so. I think the LeBron block is on a whole nother level. One, that it came in the finals. Two, that it came in a game seven. Three, that it came at such an opportune time in game seven and by probably the greatest players ever played the game, potentially. So there's a lot of reasons why that LeBron block stands out among those. But that was definitely an iconic play, and I'm with you that as far as this playoffs go, absolutely, that's the play that sticks out.
Okay, because I was just curious because I was thinking about those iconic plays. The LeBron.
There always is one.
There's the LeBron run down block, the shot over Elo, MJ over Elo.
Right.
And so I was thinking, I was like, is this going to be that play from this playoffs?
I would think in recent history, and I would point back to a number of shots that this would maybe rival, the Kawhi quarter three over the Sixers with Toronto that sent them to the conference finals. That's an equivalent sort of shot. The Damian Lillard game winner from half court over the Oklahoma City Thunder a couple years ago with the meme. Like, that's, you know, that's sort of the realm, I think, that sort of play. Those didn't happen in the finals. They didn't happen at those sort of levels, but they were still just iconic for those that year of the playoffs.
Right.
That was definitely one of them. And Ayton has had a hell of a playoffs. He's been awesome.
He is making that turn into NBA star status.
I think he
was a great player beforehand. I think now he's making that, he's not a superstar by any means, but he's making that, he's turning into that household name where you're like, you think of big men, you think of DeAndre Ayton. Like, this guy is making that, turning that corner, and good for him. It took him some work. I mean, this guy was the number one overall pick out of University of Arizona. I mean, this guy was, he was expected to be that guy right out the gate. He wasn't. And now he's starting to turn that corner, and it's really fun to see a guy that you had so much hype and, you know, promise over finally turn that corner and be that guy. So good for DeAndre Ayton.
Absolutely. And he hasn't been a bad player in the NBA by any means, but no, when you're the number one overall pick and you were selected over Luka Doncic and Trae Young, that looked very bad very quickly.
Hey,
right?
Let's not forget about Marvin Bagley in that draft.
I was trying to just not bring him up for the sake of Sacramento Kings fans, a.k.a. Jordan Fox, but there you go, Mitch.
That was my little stab at Jay.
A little reminder of the horrible decision you made. No, but so, you know, but in comparison to those two guys, it was like, oh, Ayton, clearly not the right choice. But, I mean, in these playoffs, this season, but in these playoffs specifically, I mean, he's shown himself to be an all-star caliber big. And you know what? He might not be better than Luka Doncic. Definitely not. Definitely not better than Trae Young. But he's proving to be a very good player. And, you know, they already have a superstar in Devin Booker.
He's Kevin Love, so
many of those players can exist at a time on a court. Like, you have to have an alpha, and you have to have guys that can work off of them. And so maybe Ayton will turn out to be the right choice in the end if this thing turns out to be successful for them.
He's Kevin Love if Kevin Love played inside for me. Like, can rebound really well. Doesn't pass particularly well. I mean he just doesn't pass very well. But he just gobbles up boards and he gets points in the paint. If young Kevin Love played inside, then DeAndre Ayton would be young Kevin Love. That's my comp. I think I would do that. But
yeah, Ayton's been great, and this has definitely been a very interesting series. Game three, very interesting. you know, game four tonight, 2-1 series lead for the Suns, will be a big game. Mitch, let's talk about the Eastern Conference Finals. Milwaukee Bucks, Atlanta Hawks. Series tied at 1. Atlanta takes the first game, as they have. You know, they did that against Philly, right? I believe they did that against the Knicks as well. They've started all their series off stealing that game 1 on the road.
Trey had 48 in that game.
I mean, Trae Young was incredible. Last game, though, a little bit different. Jrue Holiday really frustrated him on defense. Milwaukee really played well, got out to a huge lead. It was like 30 points in the third quarter, cruised to a victory. Now they'll go to Atlanta. Good news for Atlanta is they've stolen home court advantage. They stole one in Milwaukee. Get them done at home, and you're in a great spot. Obviously, coming off a big win, Bucks got to feel pretty good. We both predicted that not only would these teams win their game sevens, but that, you know, that they would play in the conference finals last week. And we both said Bucks in six. How does that feel after two games?
I still feel pretty good about it. I'm not going to jump and say Bucks in seven just yet. I think with the contributions of Giannis had a great game too. Jrue Holiday defensively had a fantastic game too. Frustrating Trae Young all night long. Chris Middleton, I know I chewed him up. He still needs to step up offensively. Still not playing great, but his contributions off ball have been just fine. This is still a team that I think could get done in six. I think the Hawks are going to be scrappy though,
They
have been. And if a game seven happens with the Hawks, I'm not going to be shocked.
Right. Like
if it's a Hawks Bucks game seven, I'm not going to be shocked. I'm still picking the Bucks. I still think the Hawks aren't quite to that level. But when you break it down and look at it, you have to go with the depth and the top end talent that the Bucks have over the Atlanta Hawks. With Giannis, Jrue Holiday, and then when Chris Middleton finally wakes the hell up and pulls his head out of his ass.
He hasn't been horrible.
He's been bad since the last half of the last series, and then coming up to here.
Turned it around at the end of that Nets series. He was horrible to start it, but he actually turned it around.
He's shooting 33% from the field right now. That's not good. That's
in
not
this
good.
Series in the two games?
Yes, in the two games, he is shooting 33% from the field. So that's not good. What I'm saying is, like, right. When he finally
were talking about it like he was playing like he was before when he was awful. Like he was
well,
just
the difference between 33% and 28% is not that huge when it comes down to the fact that you're taking 20 shots a game. It's not that big. So, you know, he's still playing pretty crappy, but I have confidence he'll pull his head out of his ass. They'll have that Milwaukee big three,
I believe,
that we've been
Middleton.
Talking about. I do too. And then we'll see Bucks in six. But don't be shocked if you see a game seven in this series.
Oh, no doubt. I'm still Bucks in six. I'm not like ruling out by any means that the Hawks could win this series. I mean, Trae Young and this team have proven that they're good for it. So, you know. It's anyone's series still, but I'm with you. The Hawks are definitely the deeper, more talented team. But the Bucks have a better trio of stars, a trio of players that can lead them on any given night that is better than the Atlanta Hawks.
Well, they still got guys like Brooks Lopez and Bobby Portis and all those guys.
I'm not saying their bench is bad, but, you know, an injury to Dante DiVincenzo in the first round hurt their depth. That was a starter. You know, now they're replacing him with Forbes and Connaughton more so than they would have liked. They don't go deep off the bench, what, 8 or 9 deep maybe? So, you know, Atlanta could go 10 deep. What we talked about, Atlanta could go 10 deep and still field a pretty solid lineup. So, Atlanta, a deeper team, but I think the talent at the top better from Milwaukee, and that they've just been there before. They've tried and failed a couple times, right, as a team, and they've fallen short. And so that sort of resilience, building that up to finally break through, you know, part of the reason why I feel confident about the Bucks. But it's a long series, two games in. Again, Atlanta stole home court. Milwaukee's going to have to get at least one in Atlanta to come back to Milwaukee, tied 2-2. So opportunity for the Hawks and Trae Young, and he's a superstar. He's good for 48 on a night if they need him, you know, to win a game. We've seen it all playoffs. And so don't count out Trae Young. Don't count out this Atlanta Hawks team. A great series. Like, I don't care. I think NBA fans are totally happy with this matchup. This has been great. And in fact, the ratings have proven that this is some of the most popular playoffs we've ever seen. Because it's actually different. It's actually like wide open. Anybody can go to the finals. And that wasn't true when the Cavs and the Warriors were making their runs. And so this has just been so much fun. And I'm so glad it was Milwaukee, Atlanta. Like, just how fun is this? This is great.
This is so much fun. It's so much fun. I'm gonna be a little ballsy here. Thanasis Antetokounmpo has one game where he goes over 10 points, over 5 rebounds.
The Thanasis game. I love it.
I'm going to have the Thanasis game. I want Thanasis Antetokounmpo to pair up with his brother and just and have a great game off the bench. I want that so bad. Maybe that's game 5. Maybe that's game 5.
Game 5 back in Milwaukee. Thanasis has the Thanasis game that gets them, you know, the 3-2 lead.
That's what I want. Yeah. That's what I want, right?
What
there.
A narrative. That'd be great, Mitch. I'm with it.
You can write that down. That's going to happen.
Pencil it in. Oh, man. Alrighty, well, that's it for the NBA playoffs. Obviously, we'll continue to update this as we go along, and we're not too far away from the NBA Finals, Mitch. Like, really, not that far away from the NBA Finals.
No.
It's incredible. Exciting stuff coming up. So let's take a quick break here. We're going to hit a mid-roll, and when we come back, our tier list of NFL jerseys, NFC edition. So stick around. We'll be right back. Thanks for checking out the Sports Hour today. We appreciate you wherever you're listening, but if you haven't already, we recommend you check us out and give us a listen on Anchor.
Anchor allows us to provide the best product to you. You can go support the Sports Hour and become a permanent part of the show, like my saint of a mother, Sammy, and my father, David, did.
You can even leave us voice messages with your thoughts and opinions that we can use on the show. Prove to us that you know better than me and Mitch Mo.
Moral of the story, people, be more like Sammy and David. Go find us at anchor.fm/thesportshour, guys, and become a part of the conversation. What the hell are you waiting for? Welcome back to the Sports Hour with Mitch Mo and Dallin. Just went through a bunch of NBA playoff stuff. We're getting in to our tier list. This is kind of like our, if we don't have Mount Rushmore, we're doing a tier list type deal. This is like one of our series that we're going to keep going, moving forward. And this week we have our tier list of NFC NFL jerseys. So we decided we're going to break this up into the two, the NFC and the AFC. We have our NFC stuff going on. This week, you and I, both fans of NFC teams, so it seems only fitting that we put them first because, you know, keep pounding and bear down. So,
right. We've got a stake in the game, if you will.
Yeah. Keep pounding, bear down. So we have to keep this real and do the NFC first. Not that we don't have AFC ties. I think we have AFC teams that we pull for.
Yeah, and in fact, some of my favorite jerseys in the NFL are in the AFC.
My favorite jersey in the NFL is in the AFC.
I haven't ranked them both together. That's curious. I guess we'll talk about that.
We might have to do a super tier and just pick our 16 best and then tier them out.
Wow, that would be something. That would be something. Yeah. But let's start with the NFC and let's start with the S tier. Okay.
Sounds good.
the jersey design, and we're obviously talking about jersey design. So look at the jersey, the color scheme, the, you know, the intricacies, the helmet, all that, that combination. That's sort of what we're focusing on. Both, you know, the regular home and a road, alternates, not classic jerseys, obviously, because we're talking about the current iterations, right? So let's start with the S tier, Mitch. And what team or teams do you have in the top tier for the NFC?
So I have three. I have three in the S tier. And Dallin, you know this about me. I don't think anyone else knows this about me. I have an affinity for that sky blue, light blue. I call it Petty Blue because I'm a NASCAR fan. So that Richard Petty blue color.
Yes, yep. Mm-hmm.
I love that color. And I have to put the Carolina Panthers and the Detroit Lions in the S tier because of that color specifically. Now, let me start with the Carolina Panthers. And I'm not even I'm not even going to get to my third team yet. I'll start with my third team because I think it's the least interesting. It's the Chicago Bears. And it's because of
Such a homer. No. I can't believe you.
No, it has nothing to do with being a homer. Of the classic jerseys, the jerseys that have seen little change over the years, we're looking at the Chicago Bears, the Green Bay Packers, the Oakland Raiders. We're looking at the Denver Broncos haven't changed much over the last 25 some odd years.
Dallas Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys.
For forever.
Yeah. We're looking at those teams. The Washington football team has not changed their jerseys a whole lot. When you look at them, I think that dark blue, that navy blue orange scheme is just they contrast and complement each other so well that it's just one of those iconic, really clean looking jerseys. Now, there are jerseys of theirs that I hate. They're throwbacks. I absolutely hate. I don't like the Bears throwback jerseys. I love the oranges. I love the whites. I love the navy blues. But when they go to that striped shoulder, orange number, dark navy blue, I don't like that. But I think that their regular jersey is very clean, and I think cleaner than most teams in the NFC. So I have to put them up there.
Wow.
Again, I cannot say this enough, how much I love that light blue color. And if I were to put like 1A, 1B, 1A would be the Carolina Panthers. 1B would be the Detroit Lions because of the combination of light blue and black and then light blue and silver. That's just a fantastic color scheme. I can't get over it. I mean, even the throwbacks for the Lions look just clean as hell. The way that the Panthers utilize the light blue in their alternates, their color rush jerseys, whether it's all blue or all black, and the way they implement that light blue, I don't think you can make a cleaner jersey in the NFL. Those two have to be at the top of the list for me.
Mitch, I'm shocked. Not shocked that you put the Bears in there. Of course you would do that.
Bear down.
I have the Lions nowhere near the S tier.
Wow. Okay.
And I have the Panthers nowhere near the S tier.
Really?
Yeah. I'll get to them when we get to them.
Oh, we're going to be so different on this, and I love it.
And there's reasons. I'll get into the reasons why. I'll sort of bring up my opinion on those teams as we get through the list. The one S tier team I had, Mitch, one of, if not my favorite jerseys in the entire NFL, is the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
I am a huge fan of the redesign that they did about eight years ago. Mm-hmm. The modern look, the blue, the bright, vibrant green, the gray version of the jersey they do, the helmet design, just the overall look, the way the color pops. It's almost like a matted helmet. I think it looks clean. It looks exciting. It also fits the vibe of Seattle. It's dark. It's gray. Like, that's what Seattle is. That makes sense. It feels right. And there's and the different combinations they could do. The highlighter green, like, I don't care what anybody says, that is awesome. They don't wear it every week for a reason. But like, when you can bust that out as like, here's something fun. I'm just a huge fan of all the different things that they can do, the way they've set up their jerseys, and just the subtle designs on the shoulders, the outline on the jerseys. Fantastic. Seattle, to me, in a tier on its own in the NFC.
Wow. I mean, they were in my A tier. So,
okay,
I mean,
right.
So you're
high on them. Yeah.
I'm high on them. I love the Seattle Seahawks jerseys. Do you remember those neon green jerseys they had in like the early 2000s or early 2010s, I guess?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, weird. Like, we talk about weird jerseys. Weird, but really, really good looking. Like, really good looking. It wasn't like that Eagles light blue yellow jersey that they had. But
right.
No.
And again, it's like they don't wear those, the highlighter green every time, you know, but they can. They can bust it out. They can go all white. They can go all gray. Love the versatility. So
yes.
That's why they're in my S tier. So let's go to A tier. You said you have the Seahawks in your A tier. What other teams do you have in the A tier?
So I have the Seahawks. I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I have the San Francisco 49ers. And I have the Green Bay Packers in my A tier.
Okay. So we only have one agreement so far.
Oh, no.
That's the Niners. Let's talk about the Niners real quick, because I think it's a classic. There's different types. There's interesting modern jerseys, and then there's like the classic you didn't change much jerseys.
Yes.
I think some of within both those categories, there are good and bad examples. The Niners are, I think, a great example of simple. It works. Gold and red is unique. It stands out. It's iconic. The emblem, the simplicity, the way the white pops off the jersey, and then the subtle variations. The all white that they did a couple years ago, that's such a good look. They have a black version of their jerseys now. I think that's a great look. They just have a great combination of jerseys with a classic style that I think just works really well.
Yeah, I think that I would like, honestly, the Niners jerseys, and I did factor, I guess, maybe throwbacks just a hair when I did this. But honestly, I went back to the shadow behind the number, those jerseys in like the mid-90s. But the way the white pops off, the red and gold, name another red and gold team in professional sports. You can't.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
It just looks that good. It's so good, and it's so fitting for the city.
The stripe on the helmet, just like a little subtle, you know, it's just the little things, I think.
It's such a clean jersey.
Yeah.
The Packers, again, iconic, green and gold. Honestly,
same reasoning as the Niners.
Yes.
I actually had the Packers in the B tier for me. Mm. So just a tier below, still a jersey I really like. I just don't love, I love the yellow helmets, yellow pants, green. I think when they get to the whites, it doesn't look as good. The whites and yellows is not a good combination. And so the green jersey and the yellow look is a great, fantastic jersey, but the different variations, I'm not a huge fan of for the Packers. So
yeah,
that's where they end up in the B.
For me, there's only been one team that's ever, and call me a homer again, but there's only been one team to ever conquer green and gold as looking really clean, and I think that's the A's. Like, they actually made the all white, green and gold look really good.
Right.
When you get it on a football uniform, for some reason, it just looks different. And
the all white would look good, but they don't do all white. They do yellow pants with it.
Yeah.
If they did all white with the yellow helmets, I think it would look better. So,
right.
You know, but there's sort of the tied to tradition, you know, aspect that you don't change. For me, I think that's a negative. I sort of docked them for that, if you will. But I get the, because again, same class as the Niners. I totally get it with the Packers. What about the Bucks though? The Bucks is an interesting, just went through the rebrand. So you're a huge fan of the redesigns then.
I think what put them over the edge for me to get them towards that top was they got away from that digital alarm clock font. On their
oh
numbers.
Yes, very true.
Like
very
when they started doing that digital alarm clock font, where it looked clunky. It didn't look clean. It didn't look like it fit on the jersey. It just did not. It didn't fit with the logo on the helmet. when they went back to the normal block lettering, it just looked a hell of a lot cleaner. And I really like that. I really like the all grays that they do. I really like the all reds that they do. They have a black variation of that looks really clean.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they have to be considered as one of the better jerseys in the NFC, purely based off the fact that they got away from the alarm clock lettering and went back to the block. If they had kept the alarm clock stuff, they're in the C, D tier. I mean, it
not
that
a
was,
fan
that
of the
was,
font.
No, that just that looked really, really yeah. bad. I was
well,
not
the
a fan
old jerseys
that.
Were not good, and that definitely helps them, right? The upgrade was definitely better. I
if
had
they're
the Bucks,
if they're creamsicle, they're in the S tier because
that is
that's,
true,
that's
right?
Fantastic.
Right?
Because
those are classic. I had them in the C tier, the Bucks, and it's not like. Super negative. I do think the rebrand was an improvement. I think I love that they gave themselves variety, variations, as you mentioned, the different sort of styles they can do. I don't love the all pewter look or whatever they called it with the gray brown. I don't love that color. I don't really love the red look. I really like the black. I think the white looks clean. So I'm sort of in the middle on it, but it's definitely an improvement. Over what they had before. So, all right, so that's your A tier. So I had the Niners in my A tier as well. The other two teams I had in the A tier, the Los Angeles Rams. I am a big fan of the Rams rebrand. I was last year and after the season, still feel that way. I love that they've leaned into the blue and yellow. I am actually a fan of the bone colored jersey, the between white and gray,
really?
Creamish
wow.
color. It grew on me. I wasn't a huge fan at first. It's grown on me. I actually think it's a really good look. I love all the variations they've given themselves, and it just feels like a very modern, fresh jersey. It reminds me of the Seahawks in a way where, like, in 5 years, I think people are going to love that jersey. I think it'll age well. I think it's a little different. It's new, you know, so I think it might take some time for people to come around to it. But I'm a big fan of the Rams redesign. And then the other A tier I had was the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
Minnesota Vikings have a very clean, simple jersey. Purple, white, you know, purple helmets. It looks good. It pops. There's nothing else you need. What else would you add? I love the simplicity. And just the purple color looks great. So Minnesota ended up in the A tier for me.
I think that for me, because so I did not have... I didn't have the Rams in my B tier. I had the Vikings. I had the Vikings in my B tier.
Okay.
The Rams for me, it's not really a new look for them. It's that late 1990s look that they went back to.
Well, it's a moderate, definitely a modernized version.
It's
not just they pulled out their throwback jerseys.
I mean, to me, that's exactly what they did. Like, when I look at what they did, what they had in the 90s, and they did, the last 2 years they've had this jersey? So, just this last season. So, I liked the more metallic-looking gold and not the
more yellow.
The more yellow-looking mm-hmm. gold.
Sure.
And I think it looks just fine. But I prefer the more metallic-looking gold. What I would love to see them do is bring back the all blue and whites, that they had like in the 60s. That looked really, really good.
And maybe that's something they could work in where they, you know, add a jersey combination where they take the yellow out of the helmet and it's just the white and then they accent everything blue and white. Because I do agree. I think that that look is very clean. Where did you have them in your tiers then?
I had the Rams in my C tier.
C tier. Okay. So that's, you know, and
that's fine. Middle of the road.
And I get it. Like, again, I know that they're pretty, I don't want to say controversial, but, you know, people are pretty opinionated when the jerseys came out last year. I'm curious to see what
the logo
would be now.
The new logo sucks.
The logo, is definitely an aspect of it. But the helmets look so good. Like, the Ram, you know, that just looks so good, you know?
Very
and
good.
So, like, I think that's a huge part of it for me, too. I love the jersey.
I don't think you could screw up the helmet if you going to keep the Ram horns.
As long as you did that.
If you keep
right?
the Ram horns
As long
horns
as you
there,
don't touch that, you're good.
I think
right.
I don't think you can screw that up. It looks it's like Michigan. It's like Michigan's
sure.
football
right.
helmets. So you can't screw that up as long as you keep that same design.
As long as you don't do anything to it. All right, Mitch, what's the rest of your B tier then? So let's move down to the B tier. So, you said you had the Vikings in there.
I only had one other team, and I had this. I had the New Orleans Saints.
Okay, I had the Saints in my B tier as well. So let's talk about them.
Yeah, I mean, the black and gold, just so good looking.
Great look.
Great look. They do that gold with the white, the white with the gold lettering, kind of similar to what the Raiders do with the white with the silver lettering. Just a really, really clean jersey, good color combination, very contrasting, especially when you get into the black and gold stuff, because the gold really pops off. That black jersey. You look at with the combination of the fleur-de-lis symbol on the helmet, gold being kind of one of the colors of the city of New Orleans. It's really just a fantastic uniform. It's going to be sad to not see a number 9 out there with it anymore, but you really love to see those Saints jerseys. And I think if they don't touch them for 50 years, I'm happy. Like, until I die, if they don't touch those jerseys, I'm happy, because they're just fine the way they are.
Yeah. You know, I love the black and gold. That is a great look. It's simple. I think they can maybe do a little bit more, but it's not bad at all. I like when they do the gold and all white looks okay. I think they've done in the past some like gold pants, gold helmet, white jersey. Don't like that look at all. Just go all white, all black, and just keep it at that. Maybe an all gold with some black accents. Like, let's get kind of wild. I think they could do a little, like,
I feel like we're very monochromatic.
They have solid foundation. I think they could just maybe do a little bit more. That's why they're in B tier for me.
I feel like we're both, we love the monochromatic look.
I do like it. I think it could work other ways.
You
but
can have the accent
not when
be
it's
in
mixed
the number.
With white and like a yellow, you or like can, a white and a gold. You're like, this just doesn't look good to me.
You can have the accent be in the lettering, whether it's the outline or the actual inside the number look, right. But go monochromatic, and I mean, that's where I was with the yes. Carolina Panthers and all those guys. So
sure. Okay. Yeah. So okay, so your B tier was the Saints and the Vikings.
By the way, sorry, just a little touch. Vikings, don't go back to shiny purple. Keep it matte.
Exactly. Keep it matte. Matte purple. It looks so good. It just looks great.
Yeah.
They figured something out. It's subtle. It's it looks great. Don't touch it.
Yeah.
It's good. So my B tier, the Saints, I mentioned earlier, the Packers are in the B tier for me as well. And then the Chicago Bears were in my B tier.
Okay.
Jersey, again, I like the navy and orange, I think, is good. I like the old orange. I wish they would do that maybe a little bit more. I don't think there's anything about the, it's a very simple jersey in a good way. I think if they tried to mess with it more, they would end up ruining it. So probably keeping it simple, but it's not like my favorite jersey, but they don't look bad at all. That's kind of that's where I'm at. So B tier seemed like a good spot for them.
It's so funny because you and I have talked about this multiple times about jerseys and how we really are attracted to the simplicity of jerseys to make them look good. And then how much I love like the oddball 2004 Buffalo Bills jerseys. And you absolutely hate them, but we agree on like the early 2010s Vikings jerseys. Disgusting.
Oh yeah. Or the Cardinals.
Oh,
the old jerseys.
Disgusting. Yep. But like, you know, we, with the exception of those early 2000s Bills jerseys, like I think we both really like the simplicity of these uniforms.
Sure. I think, yeah, absolutely. I think the sort of classic simple looks usually work out pretty well. So Mitch, we've hit the top three tiers. Now we're looking in the, I guess, the bottom half, if you will, C tier on. So I'm going to start with the C tier. This is where, as I mentioned earlier, I have the Tampa Bay Bucks in the C tier. I like about half of what they do. I don't really like the other half. The Arizona Cardinals end up in the C tier for me.
Oof.
I think there's potential. The all red, the all black looks good. The helmet needs to change. That's kind of where I'm at with it. The helmet color needs to change. If they did like a black helmet with the logo sort of popping on it, I think they'd be better off. I think their jersey combinations would look better. I don't necessarily like the white helmet. And I think they could just do more. Red, black, white. This feels like there's a lot to do there that they're not tapping into, which is why they end up in the C tier with me. The all-black Cardinals jerseys are some of the best in the NFL, but they could be better. So that's why they're C tier. And then the New York Giants, mm-hmm. the other one. A team where simple, but it just doesn't really pop. I don't know what they would change. I don't know if I would change that much. But I just don't, you know, just doesn't, like, excite me that much.
Yeah, I think for me, so, by the way, Arizona Cardinals nowhere near my C tier.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree with you on the helmet thing. I think the problem, I guess we'll get into it a little bit, but I think
we could get into it now if you want, you could save it,
yeah,
I don't care.
Let's get into it now. I mean, the problem with getting that Arizona Cardinals helmet to a black would be the dark colors that are already in the logo. So it wouldn't pop off the helmet unless you did like the white outline.
I would do a white a white oval, and then you stick the logo inside the white oval, and I think that would really pop and look cool.
That would look good. I would honestly want to go red helmet before I went black helmet.
And I could be down with the red helmet too. Absolutely,
do the red helmet, and then do white. I mean, San Francisco does it. I mean, do the oval with one of those main colors. Do the red, do the oval with the Cardinals logo in there. I think that would look really good. I think that would be kind of the big problem. But, like, you know, early 2000s Cardinals jerseys, disgusting as well.
Oh, they were horrible. Like, I mean, they're not doing the shoulder pads, like,
yeah,
you know, different color look.
They didn't have that white panel on the side. Just, mm-hmm. ugh. But now, and they've cleaned that up, and they've gone kind of more monochromatic with all red
sure.
or the
sure.
all black, and that looks really good.
It just feels like there's so much more for them to do because it's those colors I feel like could look really cool.
Wasted opportunity with that uniform.
So what tier did you have them in then?
I had them in the F tier.
Oh, they were bottom of the barrel.
I was harsh. I was harsh on them.
Okay. And, no, that's fine, man. Listen.
But like the C tier. So I had the aforementioned Rams are in the C tier.
Sure.
And then I had the Giants here as well. Okay. I think I could fix the Giants, though. I think I can
fix it.
Okay,
I'd love to hear it.
So get rid of the NY. Go back to the Giants on the side of the helmet.
Just the word Giants,
that,
right?
Okay. So they had that in the 80s. Sure. Go back to the Giants.
I like that.
I also want red trim around the lettering. And
you got it. And you have the red on the helmet stripe. You've got to work it in somewhere else, right?
It doesn't have to be on the stripes on the pants. It doesn't have to be in the socks. It doesn't have to be on the cleats. Just get the red trim around the lettering, and you instantly jump up into the A category for me.
Okay.
I mean, it's that small of a, but it's like that. Like it works for San Francisco. It doesn't work for New York,
right?
Because they kind of have the same thing going on. They're just doing it in blue.
But the colors are better. That's the difference. Is, you know, all blue helmet,
blue
jersey,
fantastic.
White pants,
yes.
looks good. But like blue and white is only so exciting.
But you
gold
have,
and red and the uniqueness of it is what makes that. And the purple, like the Minnesota Vikings, same idea. Purple, white, like
that's
there's
why
not many.
You have
there's no purple. Like that's why it's cool. So
that's why you have to add the red trim. Into
wow. okay.
the Giants jersey. I think I fixed them. I just fixed the Giants jersey.
Yeah, let us know what you think. I love that. I love that you had a fix for it. That's great.
Yeah.
So your whole C tier, Rams Giants. That was
Rams,
it, right?
That's it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's move to the D tier, Mitch. Who did you have in the D tier?
So I had the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay.
And
I had the Falcons as well.
And I had the Washington Football Team here as well.
Okay.
And I think for me is. Washington, I actually do like these jerseys. I really do. You got to get branded, though. Like, find a team name, for God's sakes. Because, like, the second you figure out if you're going to be Red Wolves or you know, whatever the hell you're going to be, the second you can actually get a look, and I love the number on the side of the helmet, but it's very college football for me. Like, that works only at certain situations, and it works at University of Alabama. Like, that's it. So, figure out what your branding is going to be. Figure out what logo you want to put on the side and run with that same color scheme. I don't think there's a whole lot wrong with the red tops and the yellow pants. I don't think there's a whole lot wrong with that. It's not the prettiest look. Like, it's not the most attractive look, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Just figure out your branding. And that's the only reason, really, they're that far down, is because they haven't rebranded themselves yet. They just have to figure that out. When it comes to the Falcons, step back. It was a step back from where they, what they had before. And I love the old 1990s Falcons logo, where they, it was and the Falcon swooping down in the shape of an F. A fantastic logo look, but you have to – they really took a step back when they went to block lettering, because that lettering was part of the brand. It was it wasn't digital clock, but it was something unique. It was very progressive, I guess, is kind of the best way I could put about it. They have to go back to that lettering. I think you could utilize more black in that color scheme, and it would look fantastic. And you could, because honestly, they play in a dome, so you don't have to worry about heat down there. You play in a dome. You could utilize more black on those color on that color scheme. So, I had the Falcons and the Washington football team, and really the football team was only because of the fact they haven't rebranded yet.
Okay. Yeah. I actually had the football team in my F tier, for a lot of the same reason, right? I just think they could use a complete rebrand at this point. I like, and I'm not saying get away from the colors, but I think if they're going to rename the team, then just really start from scratch. If that's your colors, the sort of red, yellow, white, then really rethink what's the best way to do that. You know, I think redesign the helmet. I don't necessarily love the stripes in the middle. You know, I think you could just do an all red with maybe just a little red, yellow, or yellow, white stripe. You know, I think they could really just, they'd be better off just starting from scratch. If they keep the color scheme, great. But either way, I think they just need a full sort of redo. That's why I had them in the F tier. I did have the Falcons in my D tier, Mitch, for a lot of the same reasons. I think the all black with white bottoms jersey that they added into this modern iteration is a win. The gradient jerseys are awful.
Yeah.
The all red is not good. Black and white should be the primary for the Falcons. Red should be the alternative. And they've sort of instead adopted the red as the primary. The black is the alternative. In my opinion, I don't think that's the right move. I think it looks better with the black and white. And like you said, sort of the more old style that they had in the 90s. So
those dirty birds late exactly. 90s with the black jerseys right. Look great.
Exactly. And that's where they have that variant in this modern thing. But then they also paired it with a bunch of like shitty jerseys. So like, just don't do that. Get rid of the other ones and just do the black and the white and then maybe a red for fun. So that's why I had them in the D tier. But Mitch, the other team I had in my D tier is my team. Carolina Panthers. You had the Panthers in the S tier, which to me is shocking. And maybe it's just because I'm a fan of the team, but I am just not a fan of the current jerseys. One, they haven't changed since their inception 25 years ago. And it seems to me that after 25 years, we could use some updating. I don't love the look on the shoulders. I'm wearing my Panthers jersey right now for the podcast because I knew we were talking about this. The way the stripe kind of comes down with just the Panthers logo on the shoulder is lame. You could do more with that. I hate the silver helmets.
Really?
We need black helmets. Black helmets, all black. I hate the silver. Basically,
want black helmets, how do you fix the logo though?
We can fix the logo. Put a white oval. Put it in there. Do something different. Maybe put Carolina on the side. I don't know. Like, I'm open to suggestions, but I want a black helmet. I hate the silver. I hate the silver helmets, silver pants, white tops. It's an awful look. And I just feel like they keep mixing and matching blue tops with the black pants with the white tops and a silver helmet. That's awful. It's three different colors, silver tops, white jerseys, black pants. And we're going to pretend that that looks good. No, it looks bad. The only saving grace for them, Mitch, the only reason why they're not in an F tier is because they may have arguably the best jersey combination in the entire NFL with the bright electric blue jersey that is behind me on this Zoom call.
They do.
That is, that is objectively, I don't care what anyone says, one of the best jersey combinations in the NFL. The problem is they don't use it enough. They don't feature it enough. The blue should be more prominent than the silver. Black, blue, white as a secondary. Get rid of the silver. Redesign the helmets. Redesign the whole jersey. It's just time. It's just time. 25 years, they need a new look. I mean, the Jaguars, expansion team at the same time, they've redesigned their jerseys like four times
in
now.
The last 5 years. I mean,
some of it hasn't been for the better, but I'm just saying, like, I mean, we could use something more exciting for Carolina. So I'm a fan of the black and blue. I'm a fan of the all black looks, but change the helmet, get rid of the silver. Like, we need to do some more.
Like,
so that's why they're in the D tier for me. And it hurts. I'm a Panthers fan, you know?
Well, it shouldn't hurt. I mean,
I have high expectations.
It shouldn't hurt. You just have expectations of your team.
It hurts to criticize my team in this way, Mitch.
Yeah, well.
It hurts to put teams like
the
Buccaneers and the Cardinals in tiers higher than mine.
You know how you could fix that? Be a homer like me and just put your team up at the top.
I have to be real. Like,
here's the deal. Okay, so what if we did... Like, so are you not a fan of silver jerseys at all?
I don't love it. No, I think it's outdated.
What if we did silver with electric blue lettering and black outline?
No.
No.
Well, see, the thing is like, all silver, maybe I could dig it, but they don't. They do it with the white jerseys. And it's like, well, that looks dumb to do silver pants and a silver helmet and then white jerseys. I hate that.
Would you be open to a logo rebranding? So instead of the actual Panther head,
yes,
maybe
I would
you
be
have
open.
The paw.
I like the Panthers logo, don't get me wrong, but I would be open for them. I'm not married to it. It could change.
Because then if you had like the blue paw, then you could do the black helmet.
Something like that. Sure.
I mean,
like you're thinking like the Clemson Tigers.
Almost like Clemson, but you, right. I mean, you would have to do a reiteration.
It's not
of
just
it,
the
but,
Clemson paw, but I get that sort of idea. I could get what you're saying there.
Yeah.
I think they could use changing things up. The colors, the black, the blue, that all works, but get rid of silver, make it white and redesign these jerseys. That's what I'm saying. So that's why they're D tier for me. It's tough, man. It's tough, but I got to be real here.
I can't believe
that
we're
us...
so different on that. That's so
I know. Funny. That's why I was like shocked you had them in the S tier. I was like, oh, man,
I
just
love
wait.
Because I'm
going to be – I was going to surprise you with my Panthers pick because I'm critical of the jerseys.
I will say, though, I'm with you. When they do that trichromatic combination, it looks bad.
Last couple of years, it seems like they just experimented with all these different jersey combinations. Like, they're just trying
just
everything
change the jersey.
To figure out what's good. And it's like, it's because none of it really works. Like, we need a rebrand. That's
and I'm,
why.
I'm a
like,
huge I'm a huge fan of the block lettering on
right.
uniforms.
The lettering's fine.
But,
keep that.
But
yeah.
They could also get away with tweaking it a little bit.
Absolutely.
They could. And that would make,
again,
that would probably up the value of those jerseys and make them look a little bit better. But
25 years and they haven't changed a thing. Like, we could probably start looking at what we could do a little
Chris
differently.
Chris Winkie,
you know what I mean?
Was your quarterback when those jerseys
right,
were worn.
Right, exactly. So, Mitch, we're on to the final tier, the F tier. And we have some similar teams. I've been keeping track, so I know what teams you have. We talked about the Cardinals already. I talked about the I talked about the Washington football team in the F tier. We both have the Eagles and the Cowboys in our F tier. And I also have, Mitch, your S tier team, the Detroit Lions.
Really? Okay.
In the F tier.
Now, okay, so let's start with the Lions then, because I think that you and I are going to be on the same page as far as the Eagles and the Cowboys. They're boring.
Yes.
They're boring.
Yes.
Right? Okay, so exactly. So we'll come back to those. The Lions, is it for similar reasons that you have the Panthers in the D tier, that they're just not utilizing that color scheme? Because they have the exact same color scheme. Are they just not
No, they don't, because they don't do black at all.
They have. They have in the past, though. So
But their main colors are blue and silver and white.
So,
right.
But
and
is it the
I
same
don't
thing
think...
that they're just not utilizing it
well,
correctly?
Well, so... Here's my thoughts. I think having two light colors like white and silver as two of your three main colors is a bad idea. Hence why the Cowboys jerseys are in this bottom tier as well, because they're the same, right? A blue, but silver and white. I don't think that ever looks good because you end up with the jersey combinations like I talked about earlier with the Panthers, where it's silver and white jersey combos. And in my opinion, those don't look good and they look outdated. Now, the Lions have modernized their jerseys. I like their all gray look. I think that's intriguing, but it's similar to the Cardinals and the Panthers where they're just not doing enough with what they have, in my opinion. I think they could just be so much better and so much more exciting. And I feel like Detroit's just sort of fallen short. And I just don't think of Detroit Lions jerseys as exciting. They just always fall to the bottom for me. And in this exercise, they did.
I mean, here's what I'd be open to. And I know I put them as an S tier. You would be like, they're untouchable jerseys.
Sure. But I've convinced you otherwise, so here we go.
and you've convinced me otherwise.
No, I mean, honestly, you like, love them.
Like, when I think I back on it, like now that I say that statement, like, there should have been way more S-tier teams for me if I'm thinking about they're untouchable. Because, like, the Packers are untouchable. The Niners are untouchable. The Seahawks right now, untouchable. The Saints, untouchable. Would you be down for a color rebrand of the Lions, or do you think they need to keep that electric blue? I know it's a.
I like the blue, but I'd be open to change.
I mean, would we be open to maybe a darker blue,
like a navy? You know, I do think the blue works for them because they have a shade of blue,
and navy's overused, I think, right, in sports. But like, what if we went more with a royal blue?
A royal blue would look great. A royal blue would look great. And again, Mitch, I think my biggest issue is silver and white cannot be two of your three primaries. It just creates not good looks.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. It's the same thing with Panthers. Gray helmets, blue tops, white pants. That does not look good. It doesn't look good to have three different colors on the three levels of your jerseys, right? Two or one, but not three, and they run in that same issue that the Panthers have had, and that's why I think they could just be more uniform. I don't hate the design. I think the numbers, like, I'm fine with that. Again, I don't love, but I like the gray, the all gray look. I think that's intriguing, but they just need to do something else with the three main colors, whether they incorporate black as a tertiary instead of a white or a silver, if they, you know, add something else. But that's kind of my thoughts on it. And similar to the Cowboys. Let's talk about the Cowboys here. Yeah. Because Cowboys are classic.
They're boring.
But they're boring. Thank you. The silver, white, silver pants. The silver pants that aren't really silver pants. They're kind of like blue. They just look gross. And it just makes you think of like 30 years ago.
It's time for them
to do something different.
I'm not even disgusted by the color scheme. It's just... You know, it's just boring.
It's just lame.
It just stinks. I mean, this color scheme is just really, really bad. I think they need to use more blue. They need to use, and they did that in the early.
More navy blue.
They
have one sort of alternate, right? It's like a navy blue sort of top and with
that
the white.
That was kind of their primary.
That is great.
That was kind of their primary. I'm thinking back to like Quincy Carter days, like the early 2000s. They used that jersey a lot, and that looked good. It looked good. Do it with silver pants or blue pants. Don't do it with whites. And, I mean, keep the white jerseys for on the road, and then ditch the silver pants. That's what I'm getting at.
I'm going to be honest, Mitch. I don't think anyone should do silver helmets at all. I think silver helmets are bad, and I think they lead to all these horrible combinations. So just like I said with the Panthers and changing their silver helmets, yeah, I think the Cowboys should go to it. I know this might be controversial. All white helmets.
They've done it before.
All white helmets with the star, and then take out the silver pants and do blue and then do white and do, you know, maybe a more strong silver, like the way that, the Lions have, or do something else. But I think that would solve a lot of their problems if they just went away from the silver helmets.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really weak color scheme. It's just so weak.
It's not good. I'm 100%
and for the same reason that we bring up the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, weak colors. I mean, like, they didn't even try. Almost like they did. Like, I would put the Eagles right there at the bottom with the Cowboys. Like, the Cardinals are above those two teams for me.
I was going to say, those two were the two easy ones to put in the F tier for me. The other ones I had to think about, you know?
Boring. And I think the Eagles, like, the helmet logo is a really good idea. It's a good idea. I think they need to go back to the Kelly green.
Yes. It's the color green. It is a awful shade of green.
They need to go back to that light Kelly green that is just pops off. You saw it in the 1980s. Go get the Kelly green back on this team because,
yes.
I mean, the dark green, it just, there's nothing interesting about it. There's nothing interesting about it. It may look intimidating, but it really doesn't because guess what? The Eagles suck anyway. So go get a Kelly green done. That kind of Mark Gastineau era of Kelly green and just do it. I mean, it's
yes, 100%. I think I do like their all black sort of version of their jersey. I think they should sort of keep that, but do that with the Kelly green. And then the accents pop even more on the all black look when you're working with that brighter green and the helmet's a brighter green. It's gonna bring up that would look, honestly, Mitch, it would look a lot like the Seahawks. The way that yellow green pops on the dark jerseys. Like, you could work that into the scheme that they have if they're going on a darker black or they do a darker gray, and then they're working that bright green color. Like, utilize that in the way the Panthers. You have a great bright color. Work that into the jersey better. Use that to highlight your dark color jersey better. I'm with you. I'm with you. Change the color completely. That green is gross.
What logo do you like better? Do you like the eagle head or the eagle wings?
I like the wings. Me too. I would be okay with them mixing it up because I'm not like in love with that look, but the uniqueness of that look I think is good.
So I think what they need.
Could they do something different? Sure, but like I don't think that would look bad with the Kelly green and then those white wings on it. I don't think that would look bad at all.
I think they need to do that, and if they're going to do an alternate logo, bring back the full eagle on the side of the helmet. I think that's cool. It. Or do a PHI, a Philly logo on the side there. You see it. Well, you see the Sixers do that on their jerseys. I think.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Do that on the side of the helmet with that Kelly green. That would look really good. Yeah. I think that would look really clean as like an alternate. So. But
yeah, I'm with you. All right, so the conclusion is we don't really like the NFC East. We're not very big fans of any of their jerseys. None of those ended up above the C tier. We are very high in the NFC West. Quite a few of those jerseys ended up pretty high, ironically enough. Hey, you know, that is the tier list. That's how it works. This has been a fun exercise, and we'll continue this and do the AFC next podcast. And that'll be a fun discussion because just like we had strong opinions on these jerseys, I've got very strong opinions on a handful of the jerseys of the AFC.
I think we're going to have strong opinions again, and we're going to differ once again.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, this is this has been fun, and this is going to do it for the pod. So thanks for hanging around, listening, hanging out with us on your day. We appreciate you giving us the listen. If you don't already, find us on Anchor. At anchor.fm/thesportshourguys. Become a supporter the way that the wonderful Sammy and David have done. I can't wait to see them next week. I'm going to visit Mitch and all my friends in Chico, including, you know, your beautiful parents. I'm so excited to see them and everybody. Just saints of human beings, them, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Sammy Dodd is an absolute saint. I mean, just...
She's, like, my favorite.
Yeah, yeah. And then Dave Dodd, you know, he's a machine. He just keeps pushing forward. He's a saint as well, you know.
Great softball player.
Yeah, well, he's missed the last couple weeks. I mean, we had to tell him to stop stretching singles into doubles. So, you know, he's getting to that part. But
oh man, that's great. Mitch, tell the people where they can find us on social media.
Man, we got a lot more social media stuff to plug. We have the website coming up soon enough. Hang tight, folks. But in the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram at the Sports Hour Guys. You can follow us on Twitter at Sports Hour Guys. You can find our YouTube page, our brand spanking new YouTube page, the Sports Hour Guys on YouTube. You can find us on TikTok, the Sports Hour Guys.
make sure to go give that a look as well. You can go get on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Go in on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review. Tell us that we suck. That is the only way that we can get better.
It is the only
way, my
friend.
That's a lot of socials we're plugging now.
We've got a lot more. We're trying to pump out the content for you guys. So if you're active on the talk, if you're active on YouTube, as Mitch said, sort of new places, give us a follow. And, as far as TikTok goes, guys, Mitch and I are new to this. We're trying to just sort of experiment with stuff. So if you have any ideas for TikTok content, if you're into the talk, if you're talking a lot, and you've got some ideas for us, let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
I'll tell you what,
sort of things we could do there.
If we get 20 more ratings on Apple Podcasts, I will do the Bus It Challenge on TikTok. I will bus it on TikTok.
Wow. I'd love to see that.
No, you wouldn't.
I'd love to see the 20 reviews or ratings, even if they are one star.
All it is just like, let this fat ass do this thing on TikTok. Let's go.
I love that. That would go viral, guys. So leave us a rating and review if you haven't already. And as Mitch said, tell us we suck because it is the only way that we can get better. That's We've been waiting.
No
Please
one,
tell us
no
we suck.
No one has told us we suck. So you're either lying to us or
it's episode 96.
You're shy. Because we're not good. So
oh, man. Mitch, it's been a pleasure. Good to see you as always. This has been a fun podcast. Thank you guys again for sticking around. We appreciate you. We love you. And we will catch you next week.
See ya.